This afternoon our text comes from Mark 1, the verses 21 to 26, but we'll read Mark 1, verses 9 through 28. Hear the word of the Lord. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets, and immediately called to them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in the synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone! What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. So far the scripture reading. The sermon this afternoon was prepared by Reverend Jack Musker, retired minister of the Canadian Reformed Church of Owen Sound. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, interesting story about what happened on the Sabbath day in the synagogue in Capernaum. Why did the Spirit include this incident in the Gospel of Mark? That's always a good question to ask yourself when you read any part of the Bible. Why was this included in the Bible? What is this meant to tell us today? Well, if you think about the event of that confrontation in the text, in the context of the whole Bible, and in the context of what God's Son came on earth to do, you realize that this event has something to say about that old spiritual war from the beginning. The war between the kingdom of God and the dominion of the evil one. If you know your Bible, you'll know that from the beginning this world is a scene of great spiritual war. There's a theme that runs all the way through the Bible. The war that started in the beginning, right after man's fall into sin in paradise, at the instigation of the devil. But at that time, God didn't give up on mankind. No, he established enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent, and promised that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. In other words, he promised that a Savior would be born out of a woman who would totally overcome Satan. And that's why God's Son came into the world. He would take up that battle, and by his life and death, he would be victorious over Satan. But even though Satan has actually lost the battle, and is destined to end up in the pool of eternal fire and sulfur, he still fights on. He continues to prowl around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, as it says in 1 Peter 5. He knows he has lost, but he continues to try to destroy God's people. He can't stop fighting because he can't change his evil nature. And congregation, where is the front line of that war? The text shows us that it's in the assembly of God's people, in the official worship of God. Because after all, it's God's people that Satan really wants. He has others in his grip already, but he wants you, and he wants me. And so here's where he fights the hardest, to capture people for his own dark dominion. But this is also where our Savior fights for his people. And you see that in the text for this sermon. I preached to you with the theme, the worship service as a battleground, and under three parts, Jesus in the worship service, Satan in the worship service, and we in the worship service. We read in the first part of Mark 1 how Jesus began his ministry. He was baptized in the Jordan by John the Baptist. He was ordained for his task as Savior, in other words. Immediately after that, he was driven into the wilderness and tempted for 40 days. And then he began to preach that the kingdom of God was at hand and called people to repent and to believe. At that time, he also called his first disciples. And then he and his disciples went to Capernaum. And as it says in verse 21, immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching. Notice that it says he immediately went. Jesus and his disciples, right away on the first Sabbath day, they were there. They went to church. As he did every Sabbath, we're told in Luke 4, verse 16, that on the previous Sabbath, he had attended worship in the synagogue in Nazareth, where he'd been brought up. It says that he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. You might ask, why did Jesus need to attend worship or go to church? He was God's son, wasn't he? He wouldn't need to be instructed or encouraged in his relationship with God, would he? Well, we do know that Jesus lived his whole life in obedience to God's law, also the fourth commandment. And we can also assume that he loved to be where God's people were together in worship, where the scriptures were opened and his Father in heaven was praised. But he especially wanted to be there because he knew that that's where the front line was in that spiritual war that we mentioned before. And he had just taken up the battle in that war. He had just begun his ministry. He had chosen some men to follow him. They would carry his gospel into the world. So he knew that they needed to be there at the front line of that war. He, in fact, gave the disciples the example they needed to be able to bring his word after he had risen and ascended in heaven once again. The text says that Jesus taught in the synagogue in Capernaum. He opened the scriptures, the word of his Father, which was all about him. The scriptures are the foremost weapon that Jesus uses in his kingdom in the battle against Satan and his dominion. Not money or politics, but the sword of the word. And so, that's the main thing the church is called to do in worship every Sunday, to open the word of God. That's the Lord's chosen weapon to fight against the evil one and his dominion. And that stands today too. And so participating in worship is important for us as well. Because faith in him doesn't come to you by itself. And continuing and growing in faith doesn't come automatically either. We need to attend worship for that. This is the main place where faith is worked and sustained and grown by the Holy Spirit through his word. And if you know that as a believer, then you'll also want to be in worship services with your family. Here is where the Lord Jesus comes in the Spirit to turn our hearts to him. And that's why Jesus went to the synagogue in Capernaum, congregation. He went there in order to teach the scriptures. Jesus held out the gospel to the people in that worship service. And he did that in order to take the people there out of the hands of the devil, the prince of darkness. By nature, all mankind has been captured by that prince of darkness, by Satan. With the fall of Adam, he captured all of mankind for himself. But by the teaching of the Bible, the door of Satan's prison is thrown open. And God's Son takes sinners out of that dark dungeon and brings them into his kingdom of light. And then he also continues to draw them closer to himself every time again. Because you can come to faith in the Savior Jesus Christ, but you can so easily let that faith slide again. Let's face it, we end up sliding away from Jesus again every time after a worship service. Like waves of the ocean, Sundays are the top of the wave, but in between Sundays, we can slide through troughs again. Well, by the teaching of scriptures and worship every Sunday again, Jesus draws us to himself again. Through the Word and Spirit, we're given more and more insight into the desire for what Jesus has obtained and promised for his people. That's why Jesus went to the synagogue in Capernaum. And that's why he, in fact, appears to his church every Sunday again in the official preaching of his word. Because that's what actually takes place here when the word is proclaimed. It can all look so plain here in worship. The office bearers enter the church, the minister goes up on the pulpit, the word is opened. But the office bearers represent Jesus himself. Jesus, who wants his word to go out and who wants to feed his sheep. In congregation, when you see things like that, then every worship service is special and a wonderful occasion. Jesus Christ holds out his hands to his people and his spirit works. You realize that that calls for respect and reverence in church on Sundays. So think. Every worship service places us at the front lines of a battle between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, between Satan and Christ. And as you sit in the pew or maybe listen online, your life is placed right in the middle of that spiritual war. Satan wants to keep you for himself, but Christ wants you to draw you to himself, to his salvation. So you don't come to church to dream away some time here. No. In worship, you are at the front line of that enmity between the kingdom of Christ and the dominion of Satan. And that brings us to the second part of the sermon, Satan in the worship service. Satan was also very much there in the worship service in Capernaum. While Jesus was teaching, a man with an unclean spirit suddenly jumped up and started yelling at him. In Luke 4, where the same incident is mentioned, it says that the man had the spirit of an unclean demon. Congregation, Satan had taken over that man's spirit. In Jesus Christ, God came to earth as a man in the likeness of man. How close God was to man when Jesus was on earth. Emmanuel, God with us. Well, Satan is a crafty copycat. When God's Son was on earth as man and conducting his ministry, Satan tried to imitate him by taking possession of people, taking up residence in them via demons. And in those people he possessed at that time, you see on numerous occasions they confront Jesus during his ministry. So in that service in Capernaum, it was Satan in a demon-possessed person confronting God's Son, Jesus Christ. When Jesus came there and opened the scriptures, Satan wanted to be there too. And he knew exactly what it means when Jesus comes in worship. Jesus is there to take people away from him, out of his dominion of darkness, into the light of God's kingdom. So Satan realized, I'm going to lose hold on the hearts of these people when they hear the gospel. I'm going to lose my influence on their minds. And that's what he expressed through the possessed man in verse 24. What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Most people wouldn't have known that Jesus was the Holy One of God at that time. Jesus, remember, had just begun his ministry. But the devil knew, And therefore he cried out and told Jesus to leave him alone, to let him do his thing. He was afraid he was going to lose his subjects. Satan knows full well what's at stake in that worship service in the synagogue there in Capernaum. He was fighting there against Jesus, the Holy One of God, who has come to take hold of the hearts of his people. And, as we mentioned before, that confrontation takes place in every worship service where God is worshipped in spirit and truth. And Satan uses various means to try to keep people from the congregation for himself. For one thing, he'll try to keep us from appreciating what's really going on in every worship service. You can get so used to everything that goes on in worship that you don't see the great spiritual significance of what's happening here. You're maybe tired. Maybe your mind wanders thinking about other things that happened, but what person that person over there is wearing, or what you did last week, or what you plan to do this week. Satan sends his spirits to draw you to think about things other than the opening of God's Word. Your mind is then too cluttered with other things, too trite to think about what's really going on here on Sundays, namely the old war between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. And if that's the case, the devil thinks, good, I haven't lost the battle for this person's mind and soul. And note too, congregation, that via that possessed man in the synagogue, Satan cried out to Jesus, have you come to destroy us? Satan wants people to think that Jesus is out to ruin your life, to ruin your happiness. Think about how he instigated the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden with a similar lie. Via the serpent he said, did God say you aren't allowed to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden? Oh, don't worry about that. He just doesn't want you to be as happy and as wise as him. You can eat it and you'll be like him. He's just making things hard for you. You should be able to decide for yourself what is good and what is evil. Well, the devil still tries to bring you to think that following God's Son is going to make your life boring and unpleasant. If you obey him, he says, Jesus is not only out to make your life miserable with his talk about having to deny your feelings and desires and to be willing to suffer for his name. Being a Christian is not nice, is not a nice life. Really, it's actually a cramped and sad life. That's how the evil one still fights to get control of our thoughts and our hearts today. So, through the opening of God's Word and worship, Jesus throws open the doors of Satan's dark dungeon, and he throws a rope to you and calls you to take a hold of it. But Satan wants your mind and heart to be elsewhere, to ignore the real freedom and light Jesus calls you to here in worship. And see, in one way then, Satan is right when he says in the worship service there in Capernaum, have you come to destroy us? Oh yes, Jesus comes in the gospel to destroy him and his fallen angels, to ultimately throw them all into the pool of fire and sulfur that burns forever. But Satan is also wrong when he cries that out in the worship service there. Jesus came not to condemn, but to save souls. And that's what he comes to do in the clothing of his word in every worship service in church. Today too, he also comes here via his word today not to condemn you, but to give you eternal life in him. The evil one wants you to keep. He wants to keep you in his grip in order to destroy you. But Jesus wants to save you forever. So, brothers and sisters, young people, boys and girls, every worship service is the front line for the battle for your souls. Oh, maybe you still think sometimes, Jesus, just leave me alone. I don't really want you. I'd rather hang on to that sin in my life. I don't want to hear about sin and condemnation. Or you think, I don't really need you, Jesus. I just want to rest on the self-righteousness I've gathered for myself. I don't want to hear that I'm really unable to save myself. And that's how Satan tries to take a hold of you, to keep you in his power. And then Jesus opens the door of the dungeon here and throws the rope of salvation but you ignore it. Congregation, in every worship service, Jesus comes in the Word and opens wide the doors of that prison and throws out that rope of His salvation, reminding you of His promises. The devil is here too, telling you to ignore Jesus, but take hold of Jesus' promises. Take hold of them. Otherwise, you just remain in Satan's dark dungeon until it is shut forever. Only with Jesus is there true peace and eternal joy. So we've paid attention to Jesus in the worship service, and then Satan in the worship service. Now our third point, we in the worship service. Consider, congregation, what happened there in the worship service in Capernaum. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and said, "Be silent, come out of him." And with that final convulsion, the devil was driven out of that man. He came there, calm and saved. Taken by Jesus out of the dominion of Satan and put in the kingdom of light. And note that the people were amazed at Jesus' authority. They not only heard it in his teaching, but they also saw it in his deed. Jesus had the authority and power to drive out the unclean spirit of that man. Especially then the authority. That means he had the qualification to drive out the devil and his demon. Through our fallen Adam, we gave ourselves over to the devil and to his dungeon of darkness and death. And Satan stands guard at the opening of that dungeon because he doesn't want anyone to be taken away from his dominion. We can say that he even has the right to keep everyone there. No one has the right to exit his prison. All men are of themselves condemned in the fall and have to sit out the full eternal punishment for sin. So how can Jesus then open the gates to that prison and call people out of it? Well, that's why he came into the world, into our human existence as one of us. He came in order to obtain the right to exit that place and the authority to call you and me out of it. He did that by fighting against Satan in this life and remaining obedient to God the Father, even to death on a cross. He bore in himself, in body and soul, the full curse of the wrath of God against our sins, even descending into hell for us. And in doing that, Jesus received the authority to do what he does in worship, namely, to draw people to himself, to save his people from the devil's dungeon. And even though Jesus hadn't yet been crucified and hadn't died yet at the time of the text, he had been given the authority in advance. His work of salvation was so certain that the Father granted him that authority already in the synagogue in Capernaum. Already there he had the key to the dungeon in hand to take those who he wished, those given to him by the Father already from eternity, away from the hold of the evil one. In congregation, this event in the synagogue shows us what actually takes place in every worship service today too. Here, via the opening of the Word in Jesus' name, he himself opens the door of the devil's dungeon, and he calls out to you to repent and to believe in the gospel. He calls you and me out of the spiritual darkness of Satan's dominion and into the light of the kingdom of God. Do you see that, brothers and sisters? The Savior of life has opened the doors for you with his promise at your baptism, and now he throws out the rope of salvation to draw you to himself. If you have wandered from Jesus Christ in your heart and your life, he again calls to you here and now to take a hold of him, the good life there is, and to do the good life there is in him. And we never have to worry that it's too late as we sit here. Because if that was possible for the man who is possessed by the unclean spirit, the devilish spirit, then it's possible for you too. The devil won't be able to resist him. So you need to take part in the worship service, if at all possible. Who knows if this is the last time that you can hold that rope that Jesus throws out via his word. And it would then also be good to think about how you go to worship service too. I can think of three things. First, come with great expectation that Jesus will draw you to himself and strengthen you. Maybe the sermon is kind of disappointing. Maybe the singing doesn't lift you up. But think of what the reformer Martin Luther said once. Expectation in worship is like a container. If you come to worship with a large jar, expecting much, then the Lord can also give you much. But if you come expecting little, maybe just with a tiny thimble, then you only get what the thimble can hold. Those who expect much, Jesus said, will receive much. The second thing to think about when going to worship on Sunday is prayer. Go to worship prayerfully. Lord, you have the authority and power to show me your salvation, to pull me closer to you. You have the authority to show me my sins and declare your salvation to me and fill my heart with gratitude towards you. Pray before worship, maybe even on Saturday already, but at least on Sunday morning. That opens your heart to the Lord and his heart to you. In the third place, be attentive while you worship. Realize that there's a spiritual war going on and a battle for your soul in every worship service. Bring your thoughts to rest before you go to church. Let the dust of the weekend settle and the air clear in your mind so that you're awake and alert in worship when Jesus comes in the gospel. How you attend worship service is so important, congregation. Because Satan is here, but Jesus is here too. This is the front line of the old war. Embrace Jesus and his promises then, and you will certainly find life, glorious life, in Christ that never ends. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God and Father in heaven, thank you for letting us be here together in worship. Help us to see what is really happening as we worship in church. How this is the front line of that old enmity, of that old war between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman, between Satan and Jesus. Father, let the Spirit of our salvation work on our hearts to destroy the work of the evil one in us and to help us to truly embrace Jesus Christ in faith again, or even for the first time. Let him make us resistant to the wiles and influence of the devil and to be drawn into your kingdom of light and life. And grant that every Sunday we may not participate in worship, we may not only participate in worship, but also prepare for it, so that we may be drawn closer and closer to our Savior. And then we pray too for those who are maybe in danger of forsaking you and being drawn in by the devil, even though you have done everything for them and given them your rich and everlasting promises. Father, do not withdraw your Spirit from them, but open the eyes of their hearts to see the eternal danger they are in. And help us also to call them to see that there is no blessing and joy without Jesus and growing in him. Strengthen our relationship with him and via him with you, Father, and fill us with joy of your salvation. Merciful Father, we pray for this congregation that is a living body of Christ in all the parts that support each other and in which all the members have the same care and concern for one another. If one suffers, all suffer together. And if one member is honored, all rejoice together. Bless the families, that there may be good and loving relationships between husbands and wives and parents and children. We pray that you will help them and the members who may be struggling with difficulties in those relationships. Work the desire to be at peace with all. Father, you made peace with us through giving up your Son. So surely we can then make peace with one another and with others. We pray for those who may be having financial difficulties and are in need. Father, show them your mercy and help them to again be able to care for themselves and help others. Be with the members who struggle with health issues. Give the help they need to recover, but especially also the ability to be able to place their life and health in your hands every day again. Again, Father, accept us. Accept our thanksgiving and praises and offerings, and hear our prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who is and was and is to come. Amen.